This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11. Feel free to get online. Four lines wide open for you on this Memorial Day weekend. 860-522-9842. And the last caller, Lori, was concerned about the CAPTCHA warning about Am I a Robot? And we had kind of thought it had to do with VPN use. And Proton has a great explanation for you, Lori, as for what goes on.
They also include some strategies to try to minimize it.
Right, but it's again, you're coming out of a server that's heavily used. It looks suspicious to the website.
Then they're going to ask.
So it can be annoying, but it's just security. So because of your security, their security is saying they want to make sure it's like a perpetual loop of pain. But it's just making sure you're not some sort of hacker out there. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And so as we wait for your calls, I know there was a Hartford Healthcare issue.
Oh, yes.
And Hartford Healthcare breach. This is all over the news locally. And 22,500 patients had their data accessed. According to the breach so far, your Social Security number is not part of that breach from what I can tell. But, of course, you'll have medical information that has been breached. So the bad guys know something about you they're not supposed to know.
Right.
And they can leverage that into tricking you into thinking they're legit when they call you and say, hey, whatever. However they're going to trick you. I don't know how they're going to trick you, but that's what they use it for.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out it was a third party, of course. Hartford Healthcare wants to make sure you know it wasn't them. It was a third party.
It was a third party.
Gain something? Gain technology?
Gainwell.
Gainwell, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they really gained well, didn't they?
They did. The thing that is kind of nutty about the story, too, is they said that they're going to implement stricter security protocols.
Oh, that translates to in my head?
Yeah.
We're going to implement two-factor authentication.
Right, right. Now, that's exactly what went to my head, too. Like, yeah, we're going to have to put in 2FA. Everyone hates 2FA when you're logging into the system, but we're going to add additional stricter protocols. Well, yeah.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
And Come on.
This is the Department of DSS, I think it said, right? I'm not sure which department that is that got Gainwell involved, but these are government entities, right? And we've heard of CISA out there, which is the government agency that helps with cybersecurity. And this is a government agency dealing with patient data, and you don't know to put in better securities?
Yeah, it's a combination of Hartford Healthcare, DSS, and Gainwell. Apparently, it took all three of them to kind of conjure this up. There you go.
And it's through the Husky portal. So if you're part of Huskies, you're probably going to get a letter. I mean, my own son was part of a breach thanks to Yale. Yale Healthcare had a product that they used that got breached, and my son got to be part of that.
Mm.
And they sent us a letter and said, "Hey, by the way." So yes, please implement the better security.
And stop groaning about it.
Right. Right.
You know, just bite the bullet and deal with it.
Groaning about security, though, is a universal thing.
Oh, yeah. I hear it 100 times a day.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's one of those necessary evils that we all have to deal with. And the more and more we get involved with these technologies, the more security we need. So this is a pretty obvious one. There's so many links to this story. We'll just pick one and show it to you. But if you're part of Husky, you might be impacted.
Yeah, and thanks to Mike G for kind of cluing us in.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go on to Rich in Prospect next. What's happening, Rich?
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. A nice, dreary morning.
Yeah.
It's okay. Summer's coming. It's coming. I got an HP desktop, probably 6-7 years old. I did upgrade last year without any issues to Windows 11. And then I upped my RAM from 16 to 32 gig, and that's been running fine. Okay. What I've noticed starting a couple of months ago is that when I will turn on the computer, sometimes it just boots up, you know, quick as ever. Mm-hmm. Everything's up and running. And other times you sit there and you got like, I don't know, 30 seconds, maybe more than a minute before the screen even lights up. And then the apps slowly load into it on the desktop. And you do a restart. Mm-hmm. And it might then come up fine and dandy all over again, or you do a restart and it's slow again. But after it's been up and running for a while, everything then appears to run along nice and smooth.
Yeah. There are methods of boot.
I'm sorry? Yeah.
There are different boot methods and configurations. Go ahead, Dennis.
Well, I was going to say, what you would want to do is look at what's running during startup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You would look at the startup items of all types. We can post a link to what that is. The other thing that
I just opened a window for all apps on startup, so I got a whole list of what's starting up automatically and what's not.
Yeah, I'm going to post a link to something called Auto Runs, which is a utility that Microsoft actually makes available. It's from their sysinternals package, and it lists literally every single thing that runs during the startup process once Windows begins. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And you can go through that. And if there's anything that you know that you're not using, you can disable it.
Mm-hmm.
You can just right click on the item and there'll be a disable, and there might even be a delete button. I wouldn't delete, I would just disable.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'm thinking is that on a 6-year-old computer, what kind of a hard drive do you have? Is it a spinny drive with disks?
No, it's an SSD.
SSD. The SSD itself may be getting a little old. And if it's hitting its, its write ceiling, it can read as often as it wants, forever and ever, but it can only write so many things so many times to each individual cell.
Right.
And during the boot up process, it may be writing stuff to cells that are not taking the change. And then it's got to
find a spot,
find another cell that it can write to, and so on. So it gets a little complicated. But the variability that you're describing kind of points to that.
Yeah, maybe
as a symptom of it. And in that case, the solution would be to replace the drive with another.
It could also be your computer's looking for, like you talk about startup, it could be looking for something. It could be wondering where the external hard drive went that you had on it, or it could be looking for a printer to respond, or it could be looking for a camera that you've got on there to say is ready to operate and is waiting for it to respond too. So on older machines like that, especially through USB, if those devices are not turned on and it's not responding, it's going to wait. And it's just waiting and waiting for that response until it finally times out. And then it continues. So startup issues, physical hardware issues, waiting for ancillary devices are all possible contributors to this. Also, though, Mike, Windows does have a fast boot option that you can configure it.
Oh, yeah. You may actually want to disable that. Ironically, it can actually make it slower.
Right.
Oh, I'm just looking at the list here. I got a DuckDuckGo startup boost that's turned on.
Yeah, that might be a problem.
That might be.
Anytime, it's kind of like the Inflation Reduction Act. It doesn't necessarily tell you what it's actually doing, so startup boost may not be doing
it. It is usually the opposite.
Yeah, usually. Exactly. So turn that off.
We could spend all day talking about
it. Yes, we could. It was too easy. I'm sorry. So yeah, look for anything like that you don't, it's ancillary and probably unnecessary that, you know, why does DuckDuckGo need to get in the middle of your boot process? I mean, I don't think
it's a Chromium browser.
Yeah.
So there is a startup process that runs.
So it's like an extra little juice.
It's meant to preload parts of the rendering engine.
No.
so that when you actually launch the app and it starts reading a website, it can already be downloading the website and trying to render it while it's actually generating the window for you. It's a little complicated, but...
Yeah, so ironically, it could be slowing you down to make it faster when it gets
fast,
up.
The bottom line is, on a fast computer with an SSD and a lot of memory, the performance difference is going to... You won't even perceive it.
Right.
So, go ahead and kill that process.
Yeah.
At startup.
Yeah.
Now, with an SSD, and I don't think I've ever bothered even looking and see if I could do it with this.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as, I remember, with the old spinny disk, the disk defrag.
Don't do it.
Actually, Windows won't do it. The whole defrag process is disabled when it sees that you've got an SSD.
Because you don't want any more writes.
Yeah, you don't want to write to it any more than you need to.
And because it's solid state.
Windows is aware of that, so it will not defrag your device. Instead, in the place of that, if you were to attempt to make it defrag, in place of that, I think there's a feature called Optimize, which will actually trim, which is a completely different effect. And you don't really need to do it anyway, so don't bother. Yeah. I mean, don't even look.
Right.
But even if you, what I'm getting at is, even if you tried to defrag, it would not happen because that's just not going to be available.
There might be a diagnostic you can run to see if there is any quantity of bad sectors on the SSD. I don't get into that on the day-to-day basis at Tab, but depending on the manufacturer of your drive, you may have a diagnostic tool that can take a look at it. To tell you if it's got any issues. But I bet you mess with the startup and you take a look at turning off fast boot, do those things first, and then if you still have issues, then Dennis could be onto something. Your drive is starting to show you some sort of problem.
Okay. Well, now, replacing drives, from listening to you also, I understand that hard drives are going to the moon.
It's nutty. Yeah, I'm surprised you even got RAM. It depends on when you bought that RAM. So RAM and drive, right?
It was last year when I did the upgrade.
Okay, you're lucky. You got in. So drives these days are nutty. You may be able to find another drive. Let's hope it's not the issue. I hope drive prices come down this fall eventually. I mean, these manufacturers are laughing all the way to the bank. They're building all sorts of data centers that are 95% idle. But all of our resources that are going into these RAM sticks and hard drives, you can't get them for the consumer line. So let's hope you can avoid that. Doing a drive replacement will just be a migration from your current configuration. There are still technologies and softwares out there that can help you with an image of the system. There's plenty of tools.
A lot of the SSDs that you can buy will have a cloning utility that you can get from the manufacturer.
Built in.
You'll just have to look at the documentation that comes with it. And you're probably going to have to go to their website.
Yeah.
You're probably going to have to put in the serial number of the new drive and all of that just to verify that you have one of their devices. But that you should be able to clone the drive first the way it is, and then just replace it. And away you go.
All right.
Let's hope it doesn't
get to that. Come to that replacement down the road, any particular brands that you favor?
Well, there's less and less of them out there.
I'm a huge fan of Samsung. And I think that's what we're putting into machines at Tab.
Yeah, Samsung, if we can get them.
If we can get them, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of manufacturers, and there's relatively little difference anymore.
As far as quality.
They are largely a commodity these days, and almost everybody is operating on the same baseline when it comes to making them.
Got it. Okay. All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much, and I enjoy listening to your show.
Thanks, Rich. Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, lots can go into a slow boot. We're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. And we are back. One of my favorite Memorial Day pieces to play, Arlington. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Let's go to Len in Manchester. What's happening, Len?
Well, I got a new machine that I inherited. It's in the box and never used. And my old machine's getting a little tired. So I'm wondering, I have a paid version of Office 2019.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, would it be advisable to download that 2019 onto a new machine?
It's a Windows 11 running on 2019. It should work.
It should.
Oh.
Yeah. What you'll want to do before you install it on the new computer is to uninstall it on the old one.
On the old one, yeah.
That should revoke the activation on that machine, and it should allow you to activate it on the new one. It should.
Should, yeah.
Now, you may end up having a Microsoft tech support call for this, but if you do call them and need help, they will give it to you.
Yeah. It's a license key thing.
It has to do with their activation, and there really aren't any good ways that we are aware of to, like, I don't know, prevent problems with it.
Yeah.
Other than the uninstall first that I mentioned. The way that the software activates is all in their own house, and they don't let anybody like mess with it too much. but if you do need tech support and you call them and you can get somebody to help you, they will let you activate it and they will make sure that you can.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You don't sound too enthused, Len.
Well, I don't know. Well, you see, the last time I really knew what I was doing with computers was back in the days when 20K was a respectable hard drive.
20K?
What?
That's Commodore 64 days.
Yeah.
No, this was still HP.
Mm-hmm. 20K.
And, yep, that goes a long way back.
It sure does. Well, that's okay. So, yeah, if you have the software license key and you can still download it, that's all we're saying. Uninstall it first. You may want to make sure the machine's online when you do it, so they know it's gone, and then reload it on the new machine and from a download, and you should be good to go. Worst case scenario, you can still buy a new version of Office 2024 is available.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that it was still available. I thought it was only the. You had to buy the 365 or something.
They've been, since 2019, they've been threatening that there aren't going to be any more of those releases, but they keep issuing them.
Yeah, because there's plenty of people who don't want to pay for a subscription to it.
And there are, to be fair, there are, you know, corporations with enterprise licenses for it.
Mm.
And, you know, that kind of money coming into Microsoft is good.
Yeah.
And it's worth it for them to keep this kind of product alive. So they're going to do it.
Yeah. All right, Len?
Yeah, okay, that'll take care of me.
All right, well, good luck.
Okay, thanks.
You got it, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
20K.
20K. That's some old stuff. I was talking to somebody about key punching. One of my first jobs during college was key punching for a medical billing firm. I mean, just imagine, literally changing payments like by $1.36, going through these blue sheets and key punching it. Those jobs are gone, right? AI, and you think about what AI is going to do with those types of things.
I remember generating paper tape on a teletype.
Wow. And then throwing it at Eisenhower.
The yellow 3/4-inch wide paper tape.
Yikes. Yeah, we've come a long way, Dennis. We've come a long way. And speaking of a long way, it's 10:30, which means you're all going to start calling. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're here till 11 o'clock on this Memorial Day weekend. Let's remember why we remember. We'll be right back. And we are back.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Four lines open. Feel free to get online on this Memorial Day weekend. We appreciate you guys listening and calling in, because without you guys, it's me talking about my kids and Dennis is talking about his cats, and that's not good radio.
No.
Well, we're smart enough not to do that, as opposed to the community college in Arizona, who thought it would be a good idea to have commencement run by AI. I mean, just there's so many just what you talk about. What book did you read? Like, what were you thinking when you sat down as a committee and said, "I got an idea. All these kids are commencing, and we're gonna not even bother to read their names. We're gonna have a computer do it, and we're gonna use AI to manage our commencement." And of course, it went as you would expect, horribly wrong.
Slop.
Yeah. I mean, how do you go there? So sure, maybe someday it'll work.
Not now,
and clearly no. It didn't test it. What do you assumed it would work, and you know what happens when you assume something.
Yep.
And clearly they assumed, because if they had run the thing, they would have realized what a mess it was going to be. So I don't know. AI is getting a lot of commencement speeches are being booed because of the comments that folks are making about AI.
True. Okay. Apparently the thing to do when you're a commencement speaker now.
Yeah.
Apparently. I don't know why, but apparently it's a thing that you're supposed to tell the graduates that they should be happy that AI is going to take their place in the next 20 years. And, you know, okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Figure it out, people.
Yeah. Know your audience, you know? Yes, AI is important, but these are all people who just got a degree that they're going to pay for over the next 25 years, and now you're going to tell them where AI is going to replace them. Yeah, it's crazy. So, I don't know. I just think back and just, who was in that committee? I got an idea. You know, reading those names are so hard. Yeah, let's have AI do it.
And consider the universities that have like linguistics departments.
Yeah.
Because what they'll do typically, least in a few cases that I'm aware of, those professors and TAs in that department will actually sift through the names. Mm. And they will figure out how to pronounce them right.
Well, they actually ask the kids to write it phonetically.
Or sometimes they'll even ask the kids, right.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, you know, you would think that a college, even if it's a community college, would have that covered already in-house without the AI.
Yeah. Although,
but what do I know?
We do have a fun story of our family. I'm talking about my kids because you're gonna talk. Your calls aren't coming in. But my son Kyle graduated from UConn, and the person read his name as Kylie.
No.
Yes. Oh. I'm like, only I call him Kylie. What are you doing calling him Kylie? So that was kind of funny. No. But that's the natural things that happen when you're doing a live performance of someone's name.
Right.
He didn't think he had to phonetically spell Kyle, so someone would call him Kylie. So we're going to be at 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the numbers. And anything you want to bring up tech-wise there, Dennis?
Yeah, tech-wise. Once in a while, we've discussed on the air what Microsoft calls tech support scams.
Yeah.
Where on a computer, the computer will appear to be taken over, and it tells you that you've done something illegal or your computer is being hacked. And it's Microsoft or Norton or McAfee, and call us at this phone number.
Right.
And we will help you.
Right.
Or
alternative
form of the scam is that you get a phone call from someone telling you that they are from Microsoft or Norton or McAfee.
Or PayPal or Amazon or your bank.
And you're being hacked or you've done something illegal, whatever. Well, a couple of executives at a company that was enabling these scams have pled guilty.
Good.
And they're going to be sentenced.
Deserve.
And the way that all of this works
is
that it involves, of course, the phone system, because these phone numbers wouldn't work and couldn't be used by the scammers if you can't pick up a phone and dial that number, or if they can't pick up their phones and dial you in the case of a phoned in scam.
And they're using local numbers, even though they're calling from Bangladesh.
Sometimes they're even using 800 numbers and stuff like that, too. And that also makes them look legitimate. But these two guys were with a company that was providing voice services to outfits like this, including an outfit in India.
Right.
That's where the scam itself was based.
Right.
But these guys were elsewhere. I think they were in the United States.
Yeah.
But they were prosecuted and they have pled guilty. So hopefully the government is actually getting on this and trying to prevent it. I mean, it's probably a rear guard action. And some other pair of dudes somewhere else is going to be setting up the same operation all over again.
Right.
But the more that they can do to these guys, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Right, because the voice over IP, you can actually spoof the phone number, right? Your number, in the old days, you actually had copper lines through copper switching. The number was kind of hard-coded within the physical network and very hard to act like you're calling from the 860.
And apparently what they were doing was setting up the capability to allow the scammers to shift phone numbers.
Yeah.
So that once the phone companies figured out that a particular number was being used fraudulently and then they blocked it on their end.
Right.
Well, those scammers were already on to another phone number.
Right. And these guys
were using it. And they were using the next one and the next one and the next one. These guys were actually allowing that to happen.
And there are legitimate businesses that actually use it. If you're doing cold calling, for example.
Yeah.
If someone's going to get to my cell phone, they really better have a number that at least resembles something, right? And that's how if my phone doesn't block it by default, if they've gotten pretty smart and the number they're using is an 860 of some kind, that's how cold callers get to you. And not that they're scamming you, they're just cold calling you, trying to sell you something, but scammers are using the same legitimate technology.
Right.
And these guys, though, knew.
They were, the point of the prosecution was that they were aware of what this operation was doing.
Right.
And they were continuing to support it.
Now, the other issue is when you have those scenarios happening on, let's say, Facebook or dealing with, there's all sorts of illicit things that are happening on these platforms, and these organizations are trying to say that they don't know or they can't police it. So if they're able to get these guys on the phone side of things, they should be able to get the other platforms as well for allowing the illicit activity from happening and not policing it. So we'll see what happens to that stuff. Meta's running, has a lot of lawsuits against them. Let's go to Donna in Bloomfield. Hey, Donna, how can we help you?
You can help me, and hopefully you can, with respect to my brother's Apple iPhone. He is mobility challenged in his hands, and currently he's messed around and locked his Apple, whatever the latest one is, his phone, iPhone.
Okay.
So we can't get in, but in trying to work with the tech support for Apple, he needs an ID, which, because of his memory, he no longer has. Are there any workarounds to help him in dealing with tech support? Because let me tell you, this is humor. His ID that he used for his email is an AOL account. He hasn't used that in forever. So it's like, we don't know how to help him get it. So what can we do? Is there anything that we can do with Apple in order to help get in this phone, other than get a new one and get an Android?
Right. Well, you can lock yourself out of an Android too, but wow. So the whole thing about Apple is they are designed for security. And we've had discussions of even terrorists that have had phones where these quote-unquote FBI couldn't get in. Turns out they work with the Israelis and were able to get in. But there are tools that, you know, those folks, the NSA and those guys, possibly could use, but you and I won't have access to. There is no magic way that I understand of accessing a phone like this. That's the whole point of encryption. And Apple's might not be able to help a whole lot if there's not the pieces.
I'm thinking, is there any way that you can get him to an Apple store and work with the geniuses face-to-face?
Yeah, physically.
I mean, they may accept that as identity and help him. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing that out as a possibility.
I appreciate that. I was actually in the Apple store with my power of attorney, and they still sent me to the tech support people for Apple, and they had to call me back, and we were talking, and it was like, nope, unless you can do this, this, and this, they couldn't help us. So I feel like we're about to lose out on the phone and all that's in it and have to get a new one.
No, so you make a good point about the power of attorney in that, you know, you should have the ability to unlock a system by proving you are who you are for this third party, your brother.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you can't vet any of the three items they're trying to get you to vet to show
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And yeah. we can't get in the phone to get any of it. And, you know, now we're in this position. So hopefully if people are listening, they will start to listen to what we're going through right now and try to act accordingly to prevent this.
Right. That AOL account's the problem, right? You can't access the old AOL account.
Yeah, that too. Well, because we don't remember to can't get to whatever a password may have been. And unfortunately, we weren't staying on top of it for them. But life happened, and here's where we are. And can't get into anything. We do have, obviously, passwords for other stuff. But this Apple phone and Apple ID, it's a beast. It is not working for us.
I have a Microsoft account that way, which is waiting for me to respond to an email address I no longer have. But there's other methods of verification. I just haven't bothered to waste my time trying to figure that out.
Is there any way that you can try to recover the AOL account?
That's a good idea. I do not know. We shall certainly
We can find out if there's a way to recover that.
That security is probably a lot more lax than Apple's.
It probably is. I'm thinking that it is. But what I'm going to get at is there's probably a lot of steps that you're going to have to take first, and then you might be able to go to Apple and then get the help that you need.
Yeah,
but I think we can at least start by giving you a way to try to recover the AOL account.
And it might just be who you're
something you'll post.
Yeah. It might just be who you're talking to too, because the power of attorney route is another one that makes a lot of sense. Cause you could be made power of attorney for somebody where you have no information at all. And they should be allowed to give you access to the system, but they always say there's no back doors. So it's one of those catch-22s, you know? I don't know. This is a problem.
It could be the person that I was talking to. You're right. Yeah. So let me offer or tell you a thought that I'm having.
Yeah.
I am thinking of getting another phone for him. And the reason I said Android is because Android will not make you have that blocked thing where you have to enter a code before you can even get in the phone or whatever.
They will now on the latest version.
Yeah, the latest phones are going to encourage you to do that. Yeah.
They may not.
There's a difference between encourage and make.
Fair enough. I'd have to look it up.
With his mobility and cognitive, he can still speak, but he moves a little slow, fingers slide, et cetera. So pressing the numbers, he sees them, but sometimes his hand will move and he can't hit it. So it's what keeps getting him locked out. So I don't want any password on there.
Right. They I think Android now offers a facial unlock too, which wouldn't require any code.
Right.
Okay. So you could enable
that.
There's facial and then there's fingerprint.
Right.
I don't know if that'll work for him. I'm just kind of tossing it out.
It doesn't work for me all the time. For something so I was out in the garden. I mean, I can't see my thumbprint anymore. I think facial recognition might work. I do think they're going to require that lockage, but maybe they don't force it. Only because all these systems are trying to be more secure because people have their entire lives on these things.
And that's just it. I won't let him do if we go with a new phone. Nope, you're not putting in on there, but a high and by contacts, and that's it. Nothing else.
Gotcha.
Yeah, just because of the situation we're in now, it's not worth chancing it. Yeah,
we'd love to follow your story because there's I would contend Apple has a way for you to help someone in your family, especially with power of attorney, get access to something that you no longer have the keys to.
We were looking, and Mike G mentioned it, and I just found it too.
Yeah.
There's something for AOL called the Sign-In Helper, and we can post a link to that.
So that All might right. be your...
Good. Yeah,
that might be your back door to get the AOL going, prove Apple's... Apple sends an email, you confirm you are you, and then maybe you get a voila there. Let's hope.
Okay. I'm willing to give it a try, and I thank you guys so much. I love your show. Appreciate your help.
All right, Donna, thank you, and good luck.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's a big issue. Joe, you got a comment?
Another thought might be, why go Android or iPhone? Carriers still, you have to ask for them. They still sell flip phones. You don't, if you're not going to put all that stuff on there, you go old school flip phone. You flip it open, it answers. You close it, it shuts off.
Yep.
No password required.
And there's even non-flip phones that work the same way.
Yeah.
Where you don't even have to flip it.
Because I know mine, I was thinking about it. I was like, even though I have facial recognition and fingerprint recognition,
yeah,
those won't work until I put in my PIN number to unlock the phone the first time.
The first time.
Yeah.
After a reboot.
But
yes.
That's the thing. So that's if he's have if he there is a good chance he can still lock him out.
You're right. And actually some of these Android phones and probably Apple too, that if they detect a jarring motion, will also lock it for you as
yes.
well.
Yes. I've tested it. It does.
when your kids check you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that security is important, but it is problematic. So there's always that trade-off.
Because we had that issue here with an iPad that we had found. It was an old employee's, which is no longer here. Yep. It was registered under their email, yep. and the company bought it through a third party. Apple's like, well, we need a receipt. I'm like, there is no receipt. It was bought by a third party for us.
Oh, my gosh.
Luckily, we found the password on a Post-it. Go Post-it passwords.
Yes.
In someone's desk.
Where everyone keeps their password. Actually, just look at the bottom of the keyboard. Yeah, look at the bottom of the keyboard.
Yeah, flip the keyboard over.
But it is an issue. I guess the key is, I mean, my wife and I keep talking about it. She's like, you know, Eric, if something happens to us, our kids would have no idea. I'm like, they know where the card catalog is that I keep. It's not hard to find what we're doing. But that's the thing. If you haven't written this stuff down or put it in a place where your loved ones can find it, there's all sorts of digital life there that they may be locked out of forever. And these companies are just not helpful. They're happy to take all your data, right? That's the irony that Rich called in as far as you're giving away your entire life to these people. Yet, for some reason, they can't figure out it's you or you're related, even though they know you're related.
Yeah.
Right? They know there's a meta connection there, and they don't even help. What are you going to say, Joey?
Just send letters. Send through the post office. No text messages.
Right. Keep it non-digital.
As Morgan Cunningham would say, no chatbots. Real conversation.
Well, that's right. Well, right. Now, Morgan's having a spotlight coming up on... something good today, I'm sure, having to do with Memorial Day. But his real conversations happen at 9 o'clock at night on
when he
Saturday.
Breaks out the cavassier and the smoking jacket. Yes. Late night Morgan, nighttime neighbors.
I always picture him with a charcuterie board.
An adult lunchable?
Exactly. A little glass of wine. And he's out there chatting with his neighbors, with nighttime neighbors. So you got Morgan.
You can watch him. He does nighttime neighbors on his Facebook page.
He does it on Facebook.
Yeah, wow, so you can watch him. And this one should be interesting because I think he's got his Stream Deck set up.
Nice.
For his trends. We've been playing around with that a little bit. So
very cool. So stick around at 11 o'clock for Morgan. And then it's like I think Brian talked about it. It's pretty much the Morgan.
After you guys, it's the Morgan Bonanza.
Yeah, yeah. Which is great. Mr. Radio, Morgan Cunningham. But we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We'll step up for a quick break, Joey, and get back to your calls. We'll be right back. All right. And we are back. And I was doing a little more research on this Apple thing, you know, being locked out.
Yeah.
So we've got some ideas here as far as that trusted email you did. But there is more you can do. I mean, there are some steps here. One of them is request account recovery. If you do not have the credentials, you can still use the account recovery site by selecting can't use any of these. And then you're going to be prompted for a code. This allows you to submit a recovery request using the power of attorney. So now, most likely, that's why I was wondering who she was talking to. Because unfortunately, the tech support these days, they're following these really ridiculous logic trees. And
true.
And it just might not be someone who's familiar with this type of question, but I just found it hard that there wouldn't be a way. And this is what I'm finding on the interwebs here, where you would use your power of attorney to be able to get this. You can also have them wipe the phone, really. So you don't have to buy a new phone. You can wipe it and start over. So the physical hardware is not going to go to waste, because it sounded like it was pretty new. And I would hate to have you buy another phone. So, and then of course, configure the security to be a little less so that you're not going to have this issue again, or change the AOL, obviously for the AOL account. But there's definitely, and there's a way to submit it for the deceased. Now, this person isn't deceased, but you may want to use the same methodology because it's the same issue. You still can't get in with what you're trying to do here. So you can provide court orders. So there's definitely a little bit more power. I do have a feeling she was just not talking to the right person.
Yeah.
Because it just seemed like there are ways to get at this stuff. So hopefully she'll be able to get access. So between now and a few minutes here, Dennis, do you have any topic you want to bring up there?
Well, let's see what we got here. Microsoft has an account, a service account, that they use, you know, to send out emails.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, Scammers have
he
found
said 59.
A way. To,
oh, right.
Scammers.
Sorry, Joey. Found,
scam. You,
Joey was exactly right. This is my fault.
That is not a Herc Strong suit, I see.
Bottom line, scammers yeah. are using an exploit right. to send email from this account.
Yes.
It otherwise looks as if it comes from Microsoft.
Ugh.
And they're sending out their phishing emails.
So it's a legitimate account that looks that
yeah,
is legitimate.
Yeah, and Microsoft is looking into how to lock it down.
We'll put a link there for you as well.
That'll
be in the next patch
easier tonight, yes. right?
So we want to thank you guys for joining us on this Memorial Day weekend. Remember, when you're out there on Monday, think about why we have the day off, and thank your lucky stars for those folks who gave the ultimate sacrifice. I want to thank Mike G for doing all the posts he did live for us, and Joey Burgoyne for producing.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
We will see you next Saturday.